Dakota salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at COTA.com/trip planner.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Who are the men that pick for scraps amongst the ruins at the end of history? You should know, because you encounter them every day. Between the towering buildings of a fallen empire, we find the Fellaheen, the historyless men, who know nothing of the turning of the cosmic wheel and find themselves outside of civilization itself. Cut loose from the great chain of being, they represent the loam into which our dying culture will return. That is, unless we choose to take up the burden once again. This Fellaheen condition is the subject we explore in issue 4 of Islander Magazine, on sale while stocks last and available worldwide at shop.lotuseaters.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast of Lotus Eaters, episode 1245. I am thrilled to be able to say that I'm joined today by Josh.
Hello.
Returning guest Jack Hadfield. Thanks
Hello.
For coming on. And first time guest Callum Barker.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us. Now, Callum will be partially the subject of some of the segments because you may recognize him from the Epping protests. But given that you are in a certain situation at the moment,
it's difficult.
Yeah, there is some stuff that you quite literally legally won't be allowed to talk about.
I'll try and mind myself and be cautious.
Yeah, so we'll be very, very careful not to throw anybody in the lurch, legally speaking, while going over the subjects in as much detail as possible, because today we're going to be talking about the increased state oppression of dissidents, how the establishment has been put on the back foot by recent developments, thanks to things like the Epping protests, and also the endless lies of the establishment. So I think it should be a good one today. Is there anything else that anybody would like to bring up before we begin?
I think it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, it'd be great.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Callum, where can people find you before we start?
So I'm mainly on Twitter, and it's cal_cal_, and then it's triple I's for the number 3.
Wonderful. So give Callum a follow. I think he needs everyone's support right now to get him through some trying times. And with that, Jack, take it away.
Yes. So obviously I've still been, since I've been last been here, out on the streets following the protests everywhere, mostly in Epping, of course, with Callum at the Britannia Hotel as well, but not just there. I've been to Cheshunt, Braintree, just to name a two of them. And, you know, but before I go into what the police have been doing recently, I've just got a few clips here just to give you a taste of some of the things that I've now been seeing on the ground. So we've got this interview I did with a woman here who, and let me just pull this up.
Whoop. You have to click it twice.
There we go. Sorry.
We're standing here staring at my little granddaughter. They then started walking towards her, so I had to run and go and pick her up. Sorry.
Don't apologise. Listen, you take your time. Don't worry. You're in a safe place. We're all here supporting you. We're listening to you. Yeah. We believe you. It's okay. Right, yeah.
And also, I was in a shop one day with my daughter who got abused when she was younger, and one of them was standing so close behind her, she could feel his man bits in her back.
So yeah, his man bits were in her back is the quote that the grandma just said there. And, you know, this is only just one of the stories that was at Braintree. At this protest here, the lady that's interviewing this grandmother, Michelle, is the protest leader there. And so she decided to go round the crowd and just get the stories from women who had obviously been very, very affected by all of the immigrants coming into their local communities. And there was story after that, after that, after that. You know, we had some woman who said, "Oh, you know, I'm in a shelter now for a domestic violence situation." And the counselor said, "Actually, they can't house me, so she has to go back to the home." You know, with potentially her ex, her husband, her boyfriend, whatever the situation is.
Presumably, because the situation from. That she's in takes lower priority than housing invaders into HMOs.
Exactly. You know, obviously that's specifically a council decision, and the Home Office, you know, gives councils to house migrants. But it's still the fact that the council will be putting the migrants in these places. And obviously they've clearly just run out of them. So sorry, you know, native Britons who are escaping, you know, probably getting beaten up or stabbed or whatever, you know, horrible violence, you know, we don't have the money, the resources to help you, because, you know, whoever has come over from Somalia, we've got to give them the free hotel, the iPhone, you know, all of the gibs possible. So, yeah, sorry, it's over for you, basically.
Yeah, I've had friends recently who seem to start finally noticing what's been going on, because I know a girl who's been in a similar situation to that, who's been waiting on the council list for ages to get somewhere to live. And she's just been so confused, like, why is it taking so long? It shouldn't be taking this long. And myself and my missus just said to her, well, you know what's going on. It's because you are here in the priorities and the foreigners are here. And then she was like, no, that can't be true. So we just walked her through how a lot of it worked. And when people finally start to have it impacting their own lives, and in a very negative way as well, some people are beginning to pay attention who otherwise wouldn't have, because this is just a normal girl, typical left-wing persuasion. But when it really starts to affect them, some people start to notice.
It's also worth adding that the people whose, you know, children or grandchildren are affected by this, no amount of politicking will change their minds when it comes down to their child's safety, right? I think that people will be called any sort of names to keep their children safe, and you can't really fight against that. And so I think that if there's an organic movement of people who are personally affected, it's going to basically be immune to a lot of the political positioning and name-calling that other movements might not be.
Rightfully so. And it really, it kind of wakes some people up a little bit to the just farce of democracy in this country.
Yep.
Because that's when they get to the point where they're like, wait, I didn't ask for this. I never voted for this. And then you point out to them, can you remember when we voted to start letting them in the 60s? What vote was it that started to flood them? Was it on the manifesto in 97 when Blair was put in power? No. Was it the Tories pledging to let in hundreds of thousands in 2010? Or was it the exact opposite of that? And then they start to hopefully realize that perhaps these people don't represent us, but not just in the left-wing way that people believe, that in the way of, oh, that they're actually screwing us over.
And obviously, now here, this is a clip from Chesant, which is just a few days around the same time of the Braintree protest, last Friday, I believe this was. And so these are the lovely people who come out and defend the migrant rapists and those sorts who are, again, being housed for free, and has said in as a priority out of literal domestically abused women. These are the people who defend this policy. So the lovely people.
Oh, idiots! Go away, you fucking...
Any thoughts on the
other
thought?
Idiots!
Go away! Get a child!
So yeah, get a job.
Well-reasoned arguments right there, yeah.
I mean, you know, it's funny when obviously, you know, Stand Up To Racism, etc., you know, they'll be out all the time and, you know, literally bust in a lot of these places, you know, allegations that they are actually paid to do this. So I mean, come on, get a job, me? I should be saying it right back at them, quite frankly. I've really got to stop doing that. That does infect my usual vocabulary.
90% of discussions before the podcast started were Jack in doing his Trump impression. It's quite impressive. He's got remarkable stamina for
it. It's like a brain worm. It really does get in there. And again, just this will then lead into the main topic of discussion here. This woman, I was just trying to interview them, standing on one side of the barrier, between where the specific locations where they had to be held in because of the Section 14 that had been put in place at Cheshunt. So I'm just going over, recording, trying to talk to a few people. And then this woman, who some people have told me is a local councillor, haven't been able to fully 100% match the photos, but she looks pretty similar, then came over to talk to me as well.
What decision today at all with the appeals court, the Bell Hotel decision? Are you in favour of it, against it?
Where did you get your suit jacket from?
Oh, I bought it.
Where from? Which shop?
I can't remember. I've had it for ages.
Do you mind if I touch it?
No. Don't touch me. Thank you very much. I would rather not.
So this random woman, again, who may allegedly be a local councillor, instead of answering my questions, starts going on about my suit, which I generally just, I had it for ages, couldn't remember.
Maybe she was hitting on you.
She was hit. A lot of people have said that maybe. This was it was a great cougar attack I saw right here.
You wanted to see
but yeah, obviously, actually reaching out to touch someone, if she had touched me, that would legally have been common assault, of course. But like, if... Again, flip it the other way around. I know it's just kind of thinking of, oh, if the turntables, what if the shoe's on the other foot? Yeah, I know it's a kind of a bit of a tired analogy, but genuinely, you know, what if, you know, somebody who'd been waving the England flag, waving the cross of St. George, had, you know, reached out and tried to touch somebody from, say, The Guardian, who was interviewing them? Would you not have thought, like, the cops would have been on them in, like, a heartbeat?
They would have been all over it, and that's the case. What shocks me, really, is just the confidence. But you said she was a local councillor, but from a previous video, you'd see that the banners that some of these people had were from Hackney. They boss themselves around, and the chants they go on about this is what community looks like.
Well, you saw them on the coach.
Exactly. They tried to load themselves onto, I believe it was a Golden Boy coach or whatever, to go back to wherever they come from. And they kind of inject themselves into our communities like Epping and elsewhere, where we have these issues, and they try and dominate the conversation. And it disgusts me, the confidence that they have that they can come in and do that and try and influence local politics.
Well, it's because they know that the law is on their side, unfortunately.
Yeah, and sadly, I mentioned this earlier on Twitter, and I've told a part of this story before. Local councils are often just as culpable as the broader government, because this kind of malice, because what that woman was doing, she just didn't want to talk to you, so was trying to throw you off so that you would leave her alone. From what I could see there, it was a very strange divergence tactic. But they hold that same kind of malice, because while they're not top elites, they still see themselves as better than the people in the local community because they're in the council. They get these tiny little decisions that they're allowed control over. So it's like the petty tyranny. Mm. And in my local council, a friend of mine went to conduct an interview with the local councillor. And before he began, the councillor said, "Sorry for the delay there, mate. We just had to check that you weren't right wing before we start." And that was the start of it. And then later on, my friend expanded on that and told me that as part of the discussion, they were talking about the local developments in town. And he said the local developments, all of the buildings, because the town centre, like so many across England, completely desolate, ruined, barbershop, phone shop, nail salon, repeat, except just add a few empty businesses there in between each every so often. He said, "Well, we're developing the town, we've got some new buildings coming up, and what we really want to focus on is using these businesses to promote diversity."
Oh.
Using these developments, making these buildings, getting some nice murals of a big foreign face beaming down at you to let you know this isn't your town anymore. You never voted for this. Oh, this used to be
you
like
see that everywhere though.
Yeah, this used to be a rail hotspot. This used to be a heart of rail industry in the north. Not anymore. Now it's just a place for random foreigners to show up uninvited and get given stuff.
Yeah, it's just, you can't make it up, you know. Although I have been saying, in terms of murals, which we'll probably be able to move on to later, there are some people who are, I think like the Flag Force guys are trying to raise some money to put some sort of Northern Irish style, like pro-union murals, like in places, like in England. So we can definitely discuss that a little bit later. But maybe it won't just be the foreign murals anymore. There'll be our murals going up as well.
There'll be warring murals.
Warring murals. Mural wars. So the main obviously point of this segment going in is to actually the police's behaviour has really gotten a lot more intense over the last couple of weeks, I've sort of started noticing it. Definitely over the last week, and then just this weekend specifically. So this is at Friday night in Cheshunt, just after Stand Up Racism had left. A few of the sort of Patriots moved towards, what was now just completely empty cage. So, like, they weren't being moved, they weren't rushing towards the pro-immigrant counter-protesters. They were just moving towards where they were. And then the police moved in and stopped them. So here. We'll just be able to see in a second a guy gets his... Yeah, there we go. Watch this guy in the St. George's Cross. Yeah. Slam literally straight down onto the ground.
What was the provocation for that?
He just assaulted him.
Yeah.
No, it's ridiculous. He wasn't there. There was no immediate threat. The police officer wasn't under threat. He just grabs him and smashes him on the ground. Mm-hmm. It's terrible.
Yeah, and like that is exactly what we're seeing everywhere. Again, I think when I was on the show last time, I saw, you know, I was able to show videos of a police officer, you know, punching a guy repeatedly in the face. And then that was at Canary Wharf, the Britannia Hotel. And that happened a second time, only a few, I think a week after that, there was another incident. I don't have the clip here, but again, another time where someone was just stopped for breaching a Section 14, which, for those of you who don't know, the Section 14, it basically places areas where protesters can and can't go in terms of having the protest at the time. So they'd put a Section 14 around the area of the Britannia itself, so the protesters stayed the other side of the road. Then everyone moved towards the side of the Britannia. The police held people down and they arrested a couple people. And one of them, again, this footage was given to me by somebody who was slightly further up in the building next door, looking down at them. And you can see just walloping in the head again and again. And that was a couple weeks ago. And obviously, then this was, wrong way around. So this was then in Epping, literally on Friday night. So not Sunday, where Callum and Sarah got arrested. So this was a couple days before.
This was just after Cheshunt, we'd all came
yes,
back.
Yes, literally directly after then. So a bunch of people from Epping had come over as well to support the people in Cheshunt, because obviously it's just literally just around the corner. Yep. So then this was, we obviously don't necessarily need the audio for this one, but there we go. So then you can see here, they grabbed one guy, which was, I believe, this one. He was the younger guy. He has pled not guilty. And he was, the allegation was for assault of a police officer, was the allegation in this offence. So you can see they grab him, they rush him, and as we're now seeing, a bunch of, you know, myself, my colleagues, other independent journalists, obviously, you know, want to get the footage of what's going on here. And the police start getting aggressive with us as well. So Mystic Media, who again are great guys, I'll give them a shout out. So they're just filming right in front of me, and the police get push back, get out the way, which I'm sure we'll see. And I'm not sure exactly what the timestamp is, but we'll be able to see it happen. And yeah, there you go. In the red hat here, he'll be pushed back just in a second. So they don't want you to see what's going on. They don't want, you know, obviously there's a difference in where protesters are rushing people, etc., but especially when you've got the press just trying to get the footage here, the police just do behave quite disgracefully.
Because surely having the press right at the front line sort of softens the response, yeah, isn't it?
And that's, you know, and he's press. Mm-hmm. And I was just right behind him, and I was getting shoved back as well.
So I don't understand this, because if I were in a police officer's shoes, you would want the press in the front so it is a barrier between you and the crowd that could be angry at you, right? Because you know press are far more unlikely to cause problems.
Well, again, and also because if you want to back up what you're saying, you would want footage of it, right? Mm-hmm. So you can say, well, yeah, this guy did deserve what we did to him, because look, the press have the footage of the whole thing. This comes across like they're trying to hide it.
Mm. Yeah, and you know, obviously, you know, you have body cameras in America, which obviously revealed that most of the time, actually, you know, the criminals are in the wrong. But obviously, here, our police aren't exactly as on our side as some of the American police are. Exactly, not as transparent. Of course, actually, I think I got it the wrong way around. I think this guy, I believe, he is actually the one who pled guilty for violent disorder. I think the assault of the police officer was the second one, a younger guy. There you go, over there, the one who's being arrested, just over there in the back. He's the one who's pled not guilty. But the two, there were three arrests, one later on for, it was allegedly he was drunk driving. He was then arrested for, and he was charged with failing to provide a specimen of, you know, obviously not being breathalyzed. So those two guys, the older guy in that clip, who was the first person to get arrested there, and then the guy who was driving back, they not only were charged and pled guilty, but were sentenced on Monday within about 5 to 6 hours of the court opening. So they went through them like that. You know, obviously, how long did it take the Manchester airport attacker?
Over
to be
half
done?
A year, you know, for Axel Ruder Cabana.
Yep. Exactly. Whereas again, you know, Lucy Connolly, of course, you get them to, you know, you plead guilty, that's it, you're banged, rushed through the system, and that's exactly what they want you to do.
Well, they've clearly got some sort of special exception for basically right-wing protests, right? Because they did the same last year as well, where people were sentenced, you know, within even 24 hours sometimes. And it was just ridiculous. I'd never seen anything like it.
You pick people up off of the street who otherwise consider themselves to be caring, law-abiding citizens who are patriots of the country, who still have some kind of faith in the system, and you pick them up and you tell them, well, you put them in a position where they're pressured into thinking, well, there's no way I can get through this. The system won't support me. So they just feel that they have to plead guilty. That's basically what happened with Lucy Connolly, as far as I can tell. She was held on remand for, what, over a month? Mm-hmm. And then she pled guilty.
It's basically comparable to that of a coerced confession, isn't it?
Mm. Like trying to twist their arm into it, make situations as dire and as hard as possible. Mm. But they just want to get it over with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's not nice.
Whatever it is, it's completely immoral.
Mm.
Yeah. And so here, then this was Sunday. So this is the first protest I went to on Sunday before Epping. So this is in Canary Wharf at the Britannia Hotel. So to give a little bit of context here, the Pink Ladies and the local guys marched all the way around the Isle of Dogs. First thing, I didn't realise they were doing that. And I was like, my God, I'm now getting my steps in, when I realised that we were right at the bottom of the mud tree. You're like, oh my God, we're going all the way back again, aren't we? So they didn't end up at the Britannia Hotel. What they did was go into Canary Wharf proper. They actually then said this is part of a deliberate protest action, in that, well, if they're disrupting the shopping centres at Canary Wharf, everyone just, you know, out there enjoying their Sunday, you know, they're saying, look, we're going to keep doing this until you, all the business here at Canary Wharf, all the banks, you know, who have millions, billions of pounds behind you, you can put pressure on the government to support the closure of Britannia Hotel with us. So until you start doing that, we're going to start protesting you to get you on side as well. Which, you know, obviously does sort of make sense in a way, in that obviously you have all these businesses also clamoring out for it. You know, it's not just the locals. And I think money is often quite hard to avoid, especially for a government, especially for, you know, when those businesses are literally in the heart of the financial sector in your capital. So they march through, and then you'll just be able to see on footage here, one young guy just randomly gets arrested. I literally see him out the corner of my eye, and I just see the police go for him, and I'm like, what on earth are you arresting him for? Again, I'm still not entirely sure what the specific one of this was either. So we'll then see what happened as a result of this. Again, we'll turn. You see, there you go. They just randomly go for him. And obviously everyone is again... everyone then comes round to get close to him.
Back away now! Back away! Back away! Move back! Back off! Move back! Back off! Move back! Stay back! We're not getting involved!
Again, you see the police being, again, extremely heavy-handed, you know, really holding him down on the ground. And you just watch the sort of olive-skinned officer who's sort of behind the shorter-haired, blondie ginger guy on the right there. In a second, you'll be able to see him pull out some Parva, which is the synthetic pepper spray. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
And that poor guy there is—he's actually just a student journalist as well. So he literally had the NUJ student pass on, and I was like, God, you've taken a full face worth of Parva. I managed to basically just, because I had my glasses on, I saw a streak of it went across my eyes. And then I thought, okay, I guess they've saved me. But unfortunately, there was basically a delayed action reaction, and some got in my eyebrows, sweat then dripped down. So about 90 seconds later, I was like, oh, actually, this is starting to sting. It's hurting a little bit now. It's getting slightly painful. But yeah, that was about 15, 20 minutes of actual, I just rubbed a chili pepper right in my eye. And like that was like a drop. So I can't imagine what it'd be like for somebody who's taken a full face of it. And just here, this
and
is...
And that's because you were just there and happened to be wanting to cover this whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
is this kind of heavy-handed police intervention that's... Like, friends of mine who are in the police, after Southport last year and the aftermath of that, left the force. Mm-hmm. They couldn't stand to see it anymore. Sad fact is, though, that when the good men leave the force, all it leaves is the rest of them.
Yeah.
If you're watching and are a police officer, stay in the police. Make sure these sorts of things don't happen, right?
It must be a really difficult position to be in if you actually care about what's going on in this country, but also you're expected to behave this way.
I've spoke to many police officers, and most of them feel very conflicted about what's going on, at the very least, if not are outright angry about it.
Mm. And this is someone else who got caught up in it. Lorraine, who's the leader of the Pink Ladies at the Britannia Hotel. Again, you know, I was a significant distance away, probably as far as myself and Callum are away right now in the studio, and I just got a small little droplet of it. So it doesn't take much to really impact you. So Lorraine was, I think, a little bit closer than I was, and she'll be able to see her reaction here. Yeah. Again, she's 70.
70 years old!
That's just incredible. They just pepper sprayed us into the airy wall.
We were just walking through.
I saw the police officer get it out. This is incredible. Everyone's choking. There's been another journalist as well. Another journalist goes here, just been pepper sprayed.
Yeah, so that's they're literally gassing grandmothers on the streets of London. That's what the police are doing right now. And that's obviously just what happened at Canary. But straight after that, when I got a lift, after I had been kettled as well for suspecting of, I believe there was a suspected allegation of assaulting a police officer in Canary Wharf. Although what I have heard, a lot of the reports on Canary Wharf have said a police officer was punched in the face. I've been informed that charge was dropped after the suspect was taken to the police station, asked for sort of the footage. And the charge was dropped, and they said a new charge of sort of, I believe, public disorder may have been there. So I haven't been able to 100% confirm this, but that's what my sources have been telling me. And of course, that was the headline, police officer punched in the face at Canary Wharf.
I was going to say, I'm sure all of the establishment are going to try and continue using that line, whether or not it really has been dropped, especially if it's been dropped, because most people just won't be aware of it. They'll just hear, oh, punched in the face. Well, you know, let's be fair. Yeah. You shouldn't punch police officers
in the face.
And
that's why it's so heavy-handed, because they're hitting the officers,
they're just
right?
defending themselves.
Yeah. So true.
Just like they were last year when it was a bunch of, like, 60-year-olds shouting at the police for arresting people who'd not done anything. So I guess we've got to arrest him as well.
I hate to say the phrase, but it sounds like most of these protests were mostly peaceful, right?
It's actually true. Like, the actual... Really, when people have been pushing back against the police and getting a little bit more fiery with them is when the police have been deliberately antagonizing people. What happened to the arrest that we shown early on Friday in Epping? Again, as you all well know, Callum, people marched away from the Bell Hotel in trying to get into town as protests usually had been doing so for the however many last few weeks. The police stopped people, turned them around, then they had another police line, they kettled everybody in, and that's when the alleged incidents happened that then made these arrests take place.
Yeah, and it's just completely ridiculous. As you said, we were marching, as we had done all the other protests. We had the section, they've had the sections in place that we were allowed to march from one side of the road up towards the council building. And you see the amount of police there. It's like they were waiting for us to get us out and into their trap. Mm. And as you see what happened to Sarah, and myself, just the aggression, they were ripping us from the crowd.
Well, we've got the footage right here that I managed to get of you being arrested. This is about a minute or so after Sarah had been taken into the van specifically. So for those of you who haven't seen the clips, I'm sure we'll obviously be putting them up in your segment as well, Harry, with Sarah had obviously the Union Jack hanging it down outside the council offices, and then she was bundled away for alleged breaches of Section 14, which I believe she's been charged with. And then, yeah, again, a minute later after being bundled in the van, this is what happened to our Callum, the Lion of Epping. Put some respect on his name, people. Here we go. So that's all Amina Hen, the Reform councillor.
Candidate.
Reform candidate, sorry, yeah. There he is.
Epping says no.
Epping says no, and then bang. So obviously, hear everyone shouting "traitors, traitors!" afterwards.
And it was just such an intense moment. I when it, we were, you could feel the energy, like you knew. This was it, and I turned away for a second, and as you saw, he ripped the placard out of my hand. It says Epping says no, you know, and he ripped out my hand. They dragged me around to the back of where the van is, up against the van where I was properly arrested. And you know, I'm a bit lost for words, but yeah. It was an intense moment.
Yeah, it was weird for me seeing you the night before. Yeah, at the event that I was at, and then
we're all there. Yeah,
yeah, we were all there except for Josh. Except for Josh.
Next time,
the important people.
Yeah. My top Brutal. Guys were there. Then the next day, halfway through the day, I just see in a group chat that I'm in. Callum's been arrested. It was a surreal moment. I can't imagine how it was for you.
I got to the station, and I was locked up for pretty much the maximum amount of time, and it was just ridiculous. I didn't get many. I didn't get lots of. Of course, I got fed and watered and such, but it wasn't the greatest of time. That's what I'll say.
And I said, obviously, I know. You know, there obviously is the case currently against you, so you can't.
It's
say...
It's difficult.
It's difficult for you to say. So we've got all the Minahan who I interviewed directly after. So I suppose. So shall we let her say something?
Of course.
Instead of you, there we go.
Sarah's obviously been arrested apparently for inciting violence by standing with a Union Jack. I just don't understand it. And I can't believe the violence and the aggression that they arrested her with. I've just never seen anything like it. And the irony that we are standing outside a hotel protesting about women and children and violence towards women and children, and our very own police take a 5'3" mother and drag her down the stairs, four of them in riot gear. I've never seen anything like it. I'm beyond shocked. And then I heard them say, "Where's the other one?" Which obviously meant me. So I just got out of the area. I'm in shock. And she's got kids at home. She's a single mom. I don't even know.
Why
she is.
Do you think they just wouldn't there stand there with a flag and perhaps block other people
because
coming
up
to her?
Because they wanted to arrest someone tonight. They wanted to arrest people. They arrested her and Callum. Callum did nothing. They wanted to arrest someone and make an example of her. I mean, it's like Lucy Connolly all over again, right?
Do you think it's a coincidence that sort of two protest leaders have been arrested tonight?
No, because I know they were looking for me, and the other one they've given a dispersal order to, or something around the fact he can't come 500 yards within the hotel. I don't know. I'm literally in shock, guys. To be honest.
So yeah, there you have it. Not a coincidence that two protest leaders were arrested. As Orla said, it's like Lucy Connolly all over again. We're not going to, you know, force you to say something on this, Callum. Yep. But I think that is exactly true. You know, you see. I think there's somebody who was either in my replies or a group chat said to me that they like this is actually how they do it in like dystopian like Middle Eastern countries when there's protests coming out here. They'll target the protest leaders. They'll take them down. Try to, you know, lop the head off the Hydra. And then hopefully, oh, well, I guess the guys with the megaphones, they've been locked up. That means everybody else will, oh, well, they won't have any organization. They won't know what to do. I don't think that's the case. And I don't think that's going to be the case.
It doesn't
work like
that anymore,
does it? Yeah.
Like, protests these days can be organized by pretty much anyone online, right? It's not like there's someone with a phone book that knows everyone that's going to turn up. So it's much, much easier.
And obviously now at Epping, it's now been sort of basically baked into everybody's heads, Sunday 6 p.m. outside the bell. That's now been like, everybody knows that's the standard. You don't need any organization now. People will just turn up there spontaneously, even if nobody's saying specifically. Again, I think there's one tonight, which some people might, you know, get more out. But Sunday, 6 p.m., everyone will
knows.
Be there.
Everyone knows. And it's going back to the, going after the organizer, it makes sense, doesn't it? You go after the people with the megaphone like me, the outspoken people who are leading the chants and who are kind of the faces of the protests. You know, Orla and Sarah have been on GB News and everywhere, you know, giving our side of the story and telling the people. If you as the police, wouldn't you want those people gone? They're a problem in your eyes, you know?
So, So we're facing not only what I think is obvious police violence, and I will say police brutality. I think I've seen enough cases to say, like I can say with, you know, there's allegations of it, but I'd say overall, police brutality across the country in the protests that I've been seeing, and police just trying to use intimidation tactics and trying to, you know, attack people who are literally just local people. You're a local person
in Epping,
standing up against the asylum hotels where women and children have been allegedly or actually, you know, confirmed criminally, sexually assaulted, raped, murdered, all of these things, robberies, just generally. Again, I think I spoke to somebody in Epping who said there's people taking photos of kids in the local area.
It's not just the free gentlemen who've been to court or whatever, who've come from a hotel, you know, the green opposite, the Bell Common, people are too scared to walk their dogs, you know, there's petty crimes through the roof. I speak to, you know, people who work in Tesco's and such, they tell you all the time, like people were running out with bottles of Jack Daniel and stuff, and they don't even report it, because it's like, what's the point?
What's the point when the police are treating protesters?
Yeah, they've got. At the end of the day, the police, they're sitting there protecting those in the hotel, they're on their side. Mm.
All right, before we move on, I'll go through the Rumble rants and YouTube super chats to everybody. Yeah, we've got quite a few. So to everybody who is supporting the show through the Rumble rants and super chats, thank you very much. And if you feel like sending in a donation to us through that, please feel free. We'll read out all of your comments. So I'll go through these now. JS Mech 83, where's this new intro music waiting for the podcast of the Metalheads? When I get round to it, which I've not yet, it will not be metal music. It will be some probably synth wave.
Harry's fantastic.
Bass. Now
on
that
guitar.
Bass. That is great.
I have messed
very
out.
Very sad I missed it, Harry.
Synth wave. Yeah, sure you are.
I was speaking at an event.
Oh, he was speaking.
Yeah.
I already feel bad. Don't make
it. No, it's all right, mate. It's all right. Carl M. Rumble says, I'd donate to see Josh grow his beard in. It would suit him.
It doesn't, believe me. I already have a hard enough time being somewhat swarthy at airport security. If I have a beard and hear ticking, it's over for me.
You should post...
okay, don't wear a watch.
You should post pictures of Goatee Josh, who comes from the New Mexico, I believe, by the looks of it.
There is a picture of me where I've got like a Walter White-esque goatee wearing a poncho dressed as a Mexican, which will never see the light of day.
And he looks very sleepy. He looks very sleepy.
I'll do my investigative journalism to find this
out.
Yeah, yeah.
He can't hide from me.
We need to add an early life to Josh's Wikipedia.
Secretly Mexican.
That's a random name. The police tactic of causing psychological distress to people to coerce them into pleading guilty is also how HR works. Incidentally, both are run by wenches. I love democracy. Don't we all? Ryan Hinnigan, very impressive Lotus Eaters got Trump and Zelensky on the podcast. With Elon in the air, the prestige of the podcast is growing.
Give me money.
Well done. He's here to e-beg. The courses are going so great now. They're only getting a couple extra billions worth of armaments to Ukraine, so every little helps, please.
Slava Epping.
Brett Moore says, wait until they break into argument later. That would be epic. Threadnought, the cops scum have their orders and they're just following them with glee. On YouTube, Wessex needs to declare itself an independent Saxon nation. That Carl guy would make an excellent king. King Sargon of Swindon has a nice ring to it. Somebody has just sent in £1 with no message. Thank you, every little helps.
Patriot.
Alex Swaffield, you guys should cover the Moors fires in the north. Not sure why, but has yet to be covered in the mainstream. I suspect Green Agenda has struck again. Perhaps. I am friends with a few people who live in Whitby and Scarborough, and seeing their Instagram stories of like pictures of the flames and the smoke rising from the moors is the most I've heard about this story. One of them even had to leave Whitby because the fires were getting that intense.
Moors fires,
so I don't know why it's not been reported.
Moors fires at this time of year are kind of unusual. Normally you get them when it's really, really hot, because I know on Dartmoor they start fires on purpose to clear all the gorse. This time of year, September, when it's been raining, it's a bit suspicious.
Yeah, we just come through a bit of a storm. So
It is strange. Maybe that's something that we'll need to look into. Someone has asked, Harry, James O'Brien collab Minecraft Let's Play when? Are you suggesting that I try and do things to James O'Brien in Minecraft?
No, he obviously wants you to play Spleef together, right?
Clearly. The monuments that we would build to diversity, it'd be incredible. Now you've got me doing it. Those who are pro-immigration tend to live in areas that are homogenous. Being from Oldham, you can guess my views. Yeah, I've not been to Oldham recently, but last time I did go, wasn't great. Wasn't great. So one last thing before this segment starts properly. Bye, Islander. Just do it. Like I mentioned yesterday, this issue, for some reason, people are already trying to flog it on eBay for hundreds of pounds. Do you want to be an idiot? Do you want to be a sucker? Do you want to feel like a complete fool? No. Then buy it for $14.99 right now while you still can, or else you will be an idiot. You won't just feel like one. You will be one.
Ka-ching.
They
get into the used car industry, I think you'd be a boon.
Or just insult people into buying a car. Do you really going to regret not getting all this boot space? You're going to wake up one day, you're going to have a body to move, and you're going to the legs won't fit, and you're going to be hitting yourself. You're going to be thinking, why didn't I take that extra boot space? Eh? There you go. Anyway, so obviously we discussed a little bit of what was going on at Epping, but while we've got you on, I want to discuss a little bit more. As much as you can talk about legally right now, you don't have to go into anything that would be uncomfortable, but what started this whole scenario fiasco over the weekend was the fact that protests had to continue because the establishment decided to maintain the status quo. From what I am aware, the Epping protests were enough to pressure the local council into reviewing the paperwork, which I believe you mentioned before we came on. Yep. They'd been aware of since 2023.
Exactly. So the planning application to turn the Bell Hotel into asylum accommodation was actually on the council's desk back in 2023, and they just let it slip into the long grass. They couldn't care. I think it really reflects on local people, what the council think about them. You know, they, it's irrelevant. They couldn't care that there's an asylum hotel exclusively for men, and they don't care what effects has it. It's only a few doors down, a few streets down from a school, and you know, little girls and kids they go to school every day, and there's just, I believe it's 130 odd or so men from God knows where in that hotel, and it's put people at risk. And I'd say there wasn't that much pushback or organized protest against it when it first got brought in, but I think people were cautious of it, obviously. But it wasn't until we had an alleged arsonist, alleged sexual assault, and alleged man beat, along with other various charges, and it's too much. Our community, it's at risk.
Well, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was back in around 2020 when it actually first opened. It was then women and children first, and then they changed it when it was shut down under, I think, when Jenrick was immigration minister. Then it shut down and it opened, then shut down once, twice, and then it reopened the third time under Labour, and that's when it had been all men, right?
Well, I believe I've got paperwork somewhere for it. I because it was open, I believe it was open in 2020 as well. It's been 5 years or so, on and off. So obviously it's good to get kind of a bit of peace in, you know, a break from the migrant men.
Yeah.
But I'm looking into it because I'm sure I've got PDF somewhere of the planning application.
So was it you or one of your guys who found the problems with the paperwork, or was it the pressure from the protests forced the council to look into it?
Well, I believe it was the pressure from our protests that forced the council into look at it. I don't believe they would have done anything, to be honest. Yeah. It wasn't until we started causing a stink that the council actually thought, oh, our reputations are on the line. We've got to show the people of Epping that we actually care about them. And I believe that's kind of what led to the court
case. I think
they
specifically said that in the arguments to the appeals court on the case. Like I looked at in on the review of this, where the lawyers for the Epping Council had said, basically, like, okay, well, why didn't you bring this before? And they said, well, actually, the situation has basically become untenable because of the protests. So what may have been tolerable previously has now become intolerable. I'm slightly paraphrasing, but that was one of the arguments that the lawyers of Epping Council used in the court case.
It just goes to show they're trying to save their skin. You know, locally, everyone wants it shut down. You know, it's brought it's brought no good to the town. And, you know, the council failed us, really. You know, they've sat on their backsides and just left be, and people are angry about
it. As a Tory, they had council as well, of course.
A Tory council. You'd think they'd do something with the tyrant of reform, like, looming over them, ready to gobble up all their seats. You'd think they'd actually, like, try and play
well,
to
like,
the right a bit.
Like typical Tories, they wanted to maintain the status quo, as was explicitly said, essentially, in this court judgment, where Justice Bean said that they were didn't want to incentivise protest, which this decision did the exact opposite of. It re-incentivised the protests, and then it preserved the status quo. And we've all had a little bit of an idea of what that status quo was from you. What they want to preserve, what they want to keep in your communities, are people who are potentially, allegedly, active threats.
Yeah.
Not just to people and their property, but to their children as well.
Exactly, and it's wrong.
And that's what brought you back out onto the streets and led to you being arrested again. As we saw in the last segment, it seems you and Sarah purposefully picked out, from what we can tell.
Yeah, because they want the protests over. I believe the leader of the council, after our arrest, actually put out a big statement essentially saying, protesters, way up, do you actually want to keep on protesting? I should have found that.
You said before. When this judgment came in, what Bean said here, he specifically mentioned, again, read the protest, that, like, if the judgment could have acted as an incentive for further protests, which could be treated as disorderly, and if unlawful protests were treated as relevant, there's risk of encouraging, like, further lawlessness. And instead of using the powers to, shut down the hotels, the police should use applications to restrain unlawful protests, again, with Section 14. Links back to what I said earlier. And again, like the judge, but it's been here, said, oh, these protests are unlawful, illegal, disorderly. Again, as we said before, the disorder is not caused by the protesters on the ground.
No, it certainly isn't. But one thing that's interesting from all of this is that they're hoping to put all of this away. In a similar way that they were hoping that all of the action taken against the protests last year, were hoping that this would put away the sentiment, that the English would just go back to being subservient, give up on all of this and assume that, well, there's nothing that we can do. The problem is that this seems to be increasingly going out of the control of the establishment, and they're increasingly on the back foot, particularly when it comes to the narrative shaping, because one of the ways the establishment has always been able to try and contain this is through shifting the narrative, changing the way that people view it, to turn it into something where, well, it's just the rowdy English working classes, bunch of football hooligans going out and looking for a fight because they're uneducated, they're idiots, they're racist bigots for no reason. And we saw a bit of that in some of your clips in the last segment, where the stand up to racism protesters were just shouting, get a job. Because they've got this idea. The problem is that they seem to increasingly not be able to control what's going on with the narrative. And
it's also important to point out that last year it came very close to the police losing control of the country, right? And if these protests continue, lots of these police officers, the way it seems to work, I think, for most local police forces, is that they get lots of people in and get them to do overtime because, of course, they don't normally have that many police officers on duty to deal with a protest. And if they're continually having to do that, eventually it's going to strain the system. Obviously, these police officers eventually will have to have a break, right? And they're also going to get very fed up if they're constantly having to police protests where they get called traitors and the like, because it's obviously not going to make them feel good about the work they do. And nobody's really joining the police, well, what you've got there is a situation where very few people want to be police officers. The existing police officers are in a situation where they're likely to, if things continue, resign, or there will be fewer. There'll be fewer police officers on the ground as well, because they'll need leave.
Fewer competent officers as well.
Exactly.
Ultimately, to control a situation like that, you need strong men. And if the only people who are willing to join the police force come the future are vindictive foreigners or tiny women who are in over their heads, that's going to become increasingly difficult. This isn't to encourage anything or to justify anything, but that's just the fact of the matter.
But I think that that's why people are so desperate. Like, that ruling from Justice Bean seemed ridiculous. That I've never heard any precedent in law whereby something's illegal because it incentivizes other things that are inconvenient.
Yeah.
Because protest isn't illegal.
If I were to get conspiratorial for a moment, and Callum, you don't have to comment on this
comment.
At all.
No comment.
Not that I would ever be accused of being conspiratorial. If you ask me what it appeared was, they put that through knowing that more protests would come out as a result of it, so that they could, not coincidentally, take the two main leaders of the protests, make an example of them to try and scare people out of trying to replicate these effects. The problem is that you were caught on camera right before you were put in the van, and you were asked your little comment, and there's already been some keynote edits.
That's so great.
Made of this. Well, we could just
I
watch.
Love them all.
I think there's some copyright music, so I might have to mute it at a moment, but let's just...
Liberate England!
For England! Let's
go! There you go.
Yep.
And it makes.
What a victory!
There he is. This is the face of the future, ladies and gentlemen, friends watching right now as we speak. And the thing is, yeah, you watch something like this and it becomes more inspiring. It becomes more encouraging that people are willing to go out there and put themselves potentially at risk for the sake of doing the right thing. So I don't think it's going to work. And we can see with the ways they've tried to shape other recent narratives, particularly one of the more explosive ones was this situation where we were finding out about these girls who were caught on camera seemingly being followed by foreigners, where one of the girls pulled out an axe and a knife, and I believe she's 12 years old and has been arrested. Yep. For it. Now, the story that we were immediately told after this blew up was, all of a sudden, all of the characters that you would expect were coming out and telling us that no, what it actually was a Bulgarian Christian and his wife walking around with a pram and their baby, who were just randomly, for no reason, harassed by a bunch of Scottish 12 and 14 year old girls who then pulled weapons on them. And even just that by itself, it's like, Does that make any sense to you?
Exactly.
Does that sound
it is
like
Scotland
that would
fair.
Actually happen? Mm-hmm. I know it's Scotland, Josh. I know what you types are like. But even then,
don't make me pull the axe out, Harry.
It's difficult to believe he carries two mini ankle axes at all times.
Don't tell them.
He doesn't actually
know where they are now.
He doesn't actually. He carries them somewhere else.
Very uncomfortable.
But Steve, who I'm increasingly being told is Elon's top guy, or perhaps Elon is his top guy, given the amount of retweets he's been getting recently, posted this video, which is from one of the eyewitnesses who was with the girls at the time. Now, the video is 10 minutes long, so I will summarize it. Essentially, it contradicts the whole narrative that we had been told by the mainstream. The girls were being followed by a couple of foreigners who were Bulgarian, who it wasn't a man and his wife with a pram, it was a man and his friends who were walking the opposite direction to them, immediately began harassing one of the 12-year-olds who was there, and then started following them around the corner, at which point one of the girls began to be assaulted after these girls were shouting back, telling them to stop following them. And it was at that point the recordings begin, and where we see them pull out the weapons. She says that she was not aware that her friends were carrying weapons with her. She wouldn't have been happy to know that she was carrying weapons with her. But the whole narrative is being distorted because, again, what we were being told... Oh, yeah, just a bunch of 12-year-olds decided to harass some foreigners for no reason.
Just happens every day, doesn't it?
Yeah, clearly,
yeah.
It just happens every single day.
Yeah,
I mean, and there are a lot of people that are saying, oh, you know, these kids are basically just like white chav gangs, you know, that sort of stuff. Like, gangs of white people do exist, of course. Like, I've had a knife pulled on me for no reason.
I remember chavs back in the day.
You know, like, it's, but also the sort of the white underclass, if you want to call them that, they're the people who are also the most preyed on. Generally, like, who do you think the girls were in Rotherham? You know, like, they weren't, you know, private school, upper middle class girls. They were the chavs,
We'll get the establishment.
Working class.
Yeah.
We'll get what the local councillors think of those sorts of people.
Mm. It is also worth pointing out that if you're the perpetrator, you don't say, stop following me.
Yeah.
No, that tends to be...
Exactly.
And say, leave me alone, whilst you're the one...
Yeah,
yeah, it doesn't
like,
make sense.
I sort of went relatively hard-ish on this case, and the people were like, but the Mail have said, oh, it's a Bulgarian, and I was like, okay, I'm still suspicious despite this. And then obviously the photos, which are that Steve quote tweeted him,
yes,
up there with the, you know, with the mask, he's got like AK-47 tattoos on his thing. He's just a Christian
guy.
Yeah. And I'm like, look, I still won't 100% say one way or the other.
Of course, like, this is just the statement of someone saying that they're a witness. But what she is describing as the story seems to line up much more with the reality of a situation, what we caught on the camera, than what the mainstream is trying to tell.
The Mail story did strike me as a bit strange, but it did make me realise that the guy looked a bit like a dodgy character as well, with the pictures of him.
Yeah. And it's not like this sort of thing hasn't been going on for ages. Like, Morgan from the WSI posted this story the other day of just like from 20 plus years ago, almost 25 years ago, stories where it was a 17-year-old man just gets assaulted and murdered by a group of foreigners in the street. So it's not like this thing isn't without precedent. In fact, there is a lot of precedent. But the government would tell us that because Stephen Lawrence happened, the police can't focus on anything like this, that the police can only have racial bias in one way rather than treating everything fairly or bias in the other way. That we need to remember that Stephen Lawrence happened. Therefore, if anything, you kind of deserve it. You kind of deserve it, is the message that we're told.
And don't forget, just with the Stephen Lawrence case, they literally did double jeopardy on that. They tried the guys again, which for the same crime, which obviously I think is completely illegal in the States and basically never happens here, pretty much.
It was a pressure campaign from Lawrence's family after, I believe, with the initial case, it came out that whatever it was involved in wasn't racially motivated. It was something like gang violence that was going on. They didn't attack him because of the fact he was black. They attacked him for some other reason. But because of that and the pressure campaign that came out just at the beginning of Blair's time as Prime Minister as well, we need to recognise that we're all institutionally racist and the police need to be used as a hammer against the white working class of this country ever since then. As lots of stuff is, like Callum was posting this earlier, because if we all remember, Callum came back from America at the beginning of this year and then had to be detained by the terror police, and then he was posting about it earlier today. It's actually that they don't check it for illegal migrants. Mm-hmm. When the invaders arrive at the shore, they don't check their phones, they don't seize anything from them, they just wave them straight through. That's not something that they do routinely. So it's again just another example of one rule for me, one rule for thee.
Just stay cracking down on everyday people again,
exactly, right? And I think on there they say that, yeah, it's like it's the ECHR, it's a Human Rights Act, that's why they can't do this. Again, when I was in Braintree on Saturday, I spoke to a guy called Dave who's leading the protest in Wethersfield, which is the old RAF base where they're housing the migrants there close to the town, and he said, yeah, it's crazy, like I've seen this, and like the police will not check these people's phones. You know, if you fly into Heathrow or Stansted, you know, you're gonna get your phones checked, but we can't even check the phones of the people who are coming here illegally across the border.
Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Because, you know, I don't know who these people are, where they're from, why they're here, but I'll just let them go about their business. Who cares? Who cares? They can walk into people's houses in Dover without any consequences, and really it's probably your fault for having your door open in the first place.
Yep.
That's the way that these are treated, and that's the way that insane radicals like Zach Polanski... of the new Green Party leader are treating it, saying that, oh, we shouldn't care about the small boats, we should be pointing at private jets. The guys in the private jets are probably the reason the small boats are here.
Yeah, I'm pointing at both.
Yeah. I hate both of them, actually. Yeah. I don't want either of them to have any involvement in the politics of my country. But of course, he's just trying to deflect from one issue.
He's trying to divide us, Harry. That's what he's trying to do.
He's a subversive. Yeah.
Zach, how about you instead? You hypnotize my wife and make her boobs bigger. Do that instead. You know, that's the expert. That's what your expertise is.
That's doing the Lord's work there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's one of the most shocking things, which was the, again, the kind of attitude that these politicians, even on the local council level, have to you who's worried about the issues, the changes coming to your community, and all of the added violence and criminality that suddenly erupted over the past few years, describing the girls who were abused in Rotherham as white trash.
It's disgusting.
Like, this is what the elite think of, you know, the actual victims of these people. They're definitely, like, so many politicians in the elite class, like, they're so much more, like, they'll think, oh, I'm not bigoted. I love gay people. I love trans people. I love ethnic minorities. But actually, they're so classist. And, like, you can see this as well in terms of, like, the protests. Like, a lot of people have been working class, middle class politicians. A Labour politician. And they'll still be extremely, like, they really hate people who they think they're below them. Either they're white trash, they're chavs, or, like, oh, you think differently than me. That must make you a thick idiot. And gammon. Therefore, a gammon.
Yeah. No, I mean, we get it a lot from politicians and from oftentimes from, like, the left-wing counter-protesters as well. They see concerned mothers and parents and stuff, and it's like, oh, you're just a wicked, bigoted woman.
Yeah. How many GCSEs did
trash.
You get? You know?
Exactly. Got more GCSEs than TEFL. You know, they say rubbish like that. And it's people like these politicians who enable it as well. Mm. So it's just rotten to the core.
Yeah, but with Epping, we get an idea of how they view us, what's all led up to this. But following Epping, the, like, attempts to mock the people involved and mock especially, like, the flag-raising movement to raise the colours have just been absurd and abysmal. Like, this is the recent Private Eye cartoon where he paints the England flag, the St. George's cross, on a roundabout. I'm not sure I want to give way to the right. Well, then you'll cause a car crash, moron. You want to cause a pile-up because you hate the England flag being on something on the road. Okay, idiot. Doesn't make any sense.
Interesting how they depicted the person painting it as well.
Mm. Well, it's just that anti-English kind of stereotype.
Another stereotype, but one that may come true, who knows, was Gammonzilla. Great
rumbling in the ground.
Rising. When the lion roars, Gammonzilla rises.
The lion of Epping roars. He activates Gammonzilla.
This is meant to be a cartoon about Epping. I was like, that looks nothing like me, you know? Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like they're trying to make us look bad. Mm.
It just don't work in their favour, does it?
Yeah. It's just, you know, I don't mind Gammonzilla. I bet he'd be good for a pint down the pub sometime. Why not?
Yeah.
And the guy, probably.
And there are solutions, of course, that the establishment makes the problems. Here's the solution. Digital IDs. No. No, just send them back.
Just send them back.
It's that easy.
It's simple as.
Don't want them here. Send them back.
Simple as. Not racialists. Yeah. Just don't want him.
Here's the other funny thing, which was this new Kino cover from the New Statesman talking about the age of deportation.
Salute.
Looks great,
That's like when the leftists would share pictures of what happened in El Salvador going, can you believe what happened to these poor MS-13? And you're like, amazing.
Yes, I want that.
How
Red
can
build.
I get involved in this?
The thing is, they're like covered in gang tattoos and they look about as bad and intimidating as possible. And they're like, oh, these poor criminals.
Yeah. It's like, Jesus, I see what you've done for others, so I want that for me. and I need this for me.
And the article that inspired this, I decided to read through before we started. It's by Tanjil Rashid. Mm. Who I believe is Indian or Pakistani.
Thank you, Tanjil. Very cool.
It's difficult.
No way, Harry.
But I tried to read through it, and it is the biggest load of wank I have ever encountered in my life. I don't have enough time to go over the whole thing, but I'll just read the opening two paragraphs. This is apparently a true story from our friend Tanjil. There he is right there in silhouette, mysterious, dark.
Spooky.
Yeah, yeah. He says a few years ago, and this is, again, this is like, this is what the New Statesman readers, they're feeding them so that they continue to think that if you're against stuff like what's happening in Epping and all across the country, that you're just not enlightened. You don't have the right view of migrants and asylum seekers, because really, they're all like this guy. A few years ago, as I cycled through my home stretch of northeast London, my tire punctured. I got off my bike and locked it on a residential street. Returning a few hours later, I was shocked. A wheel was missing.
Sounds like London. No shock.
Yep. I stood there exclaiming curses on our delinquent nation, our low trust society, our crime-ridden streets based.
I wonder what happened.
Then a door opened behind me. "Don't worry," said the man standing in the doorway with a smile. There it was in his hand, my front wheel. Wow. He then reassembled my bike. The tyre was now firm, its puncture repaired. My benefactor turned out to be an asylum seeker.
Doctors and engineers.
Yep. Yep. Hold on, fix our bikes, full repairman.
Doctors, engineers and mechanics this time, wow.
He was holed up in a home office property and he was barred from work, but he had time on his hands to spend fixing on bicycles. A credit to his community. And he's from Eritrea, where his hometown is apparently famous for its love of bicycles and bicycle repair.
It's because like which we all know, of course, the name of this town, that's where we send our bicycles to get fixed, right?
Maintenance is something that Eritrea and much of sub-Saharan Africa is well known for.
I've always said Eritrea is the Netherlands of Africa. Cycling around.
Yep. Many such cases. It gets better, guys. It gets even better. The money I offered him, refused.
Wow.
Refused. So true.
Even when government policy would suggest he lived off a mere £5 a day, he'd mended my bike, he said, as a gift.
Wow.
How heartwarming.
This definitely happened. Yeah. And I love that it did.
So, and then everyone clapped.
Then everybody clapped.
Everyone give a round of applause.
The entire neighborhood came out. They all had a big party. They celebrated diversity right there. A black child and a white child came out and they hugged in the middle of the street.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Martin Luther King descended from heaven. and he said, "My dream is fulfilled."
From heaven, Harry. We know what he got up to in his life.
It must have crawled up from hell. It must have been from heaven.
Gavin Zilla and MLK Jr. popping out the ground.
That's how earthquakes happen. That's what I'm going to tell my future children.
So that's the kind of narrative we're up against here, lads. And if people who read The New Statesman actually believe this, then maybe we don't have as hard a job.
No.
No. Not to give anybody false hope, it's a big mountain that we've got to climb, but Jesus Christ, their ability to propagandize is flagging. And speaking of flagging. Let's move on to the next segment after we've gone through these Rumble rants and super chats.
Made it sound like I'm flagging now.
That's not what I meant. I'm sorry. Okay.
I'm doing all right.
That's a random name. Zelensky should tell Epping Council that Epping's constitution prevents him from giving any land to foreign power. Also, say please and thank you. Say peace and thank you.
The people would love to see this. Donate to Carl Benjamin, please. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Zelensky. Booker 505, you guys must start a very loud campaign of public shaming. Every judge and cop must be aware that they will lose their job for their actions against people. Start sharing names and online IDs. Problem with the judiciary is they are shielded from public outrage like that because they're selected rather than voted on. So it is difficult for them to face tangible consequences for when they destroy communities like that. That's a random name. As someone who is culturally Canadian, I'm so sorry to hear that, but ethnically Bulgarian, the girl did nothing wrong. The stereotypes are real. I could smell him through the screen. They can't keep going if we protest through winter. I left the UK after uni because my
Master's in Engineering
degree would have netted me a pittance and been loving life here in Switzerland ever since. Keep up the good work, lads. Best wishes from a Pride Islander reader. As a former agent of the space hijackers, here are funds for you all to buy a tank like they did years ago. Okay, armoured car.
We can own tanks in Britain. They're actually road legal as well.
I'm loving this podcast with Aragorn, Boromir, Sam, and Frodo. Only joke, I love you guys. Now, that's not a joke, that's true.
You did mention on the other side, we've got every like phenotype of the British Isles.
This is all the diversity that we need in Britain, actually. That's a random name, says, I think Josh is right. Earthquakes are clearly caused by racism. Why else would Japan be riddled with earthquakes? The land itself wants the enrichers gone. That's right. Japan's very soil.
I guess the soil is magic
racist.
After all.
Not magic how they like.
It's reverse magic soil. Mm. All righty. I'm all tangled up here. It's cramped with four seats. Mm. Okay.
Cozy, I think.
It is indeed. Could I have that Islander there?
Yes, of course. Wow, what a great magazine that this is.
That'll be
it's a lovely quality cover.
It's got a quality cover. So
have you paid for it?
No, of course not. I got one for free because I'm special.
Oof. Oh. He is special. He's our special needs.
A special little boy.
I've got my special hat off for today. The one that stops me running into to walk.
I thought it was that little one you were.
Not that one.
Oh, no. That goes under it. Yeah. Mm.
But anyway, the Labour Party is in trouble. And I wanted to look at what's been in the news recently because they don't really have any defence against the rhetoric of the right other than just trying to agree to it and saying, oh, no, this is what we were saying all along. But the thing is, what they say and their actions are very different. And of course, what you can learn about Britain and what it takes to put up all those flags, you know, the strength of all of that is contained within One Islander magazine. You can get it now, $14.99. It's a great investment because, it's as like Harry was pointing out, people are selling them on extortionate prices. Well, get it while it's cheap, while it's affordable. We keep the price low so you can all get it.
Yeah, it's like an Elder Scrolls skill book. You open it and you get plus five strength immediately.
That is true, yeah.
The Patriots can confirm.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, the flags are still going up. Here's one that I saw last night. I think this is from York, where they're still putting up the flags. And of course, this is quite an effective campaign because it's our national flag. And if one side claims it, it sort of suggests that the other side are traitors, which I would definitely never suggest that. Oh, wait, I would actually. And what they've done to try and contain this message, because obviously it's quite a powerful one, that the flag of your nation is a symbol of rebellion. Well, Keir Starmer has said he hangs the English flag in his home and always sits in front of a Union Jack. And he says, this is what he told the BBC, I'm very encouraging of flags. I think they're patriotic and a great symbol of our nation. So what they're trying to do here, I think, because I don't think that Keir Starmer is like the biggest patriot in Britain, as he's making out. I think what he's trying to do is absorb the message, because then it stops it being this message of rebellion against his government, which is how it's intended by pretty much everyone who's putting it up, right? Do you all broadly agree?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. And then there was another instance of this where Keir Starmer said, I'm proud of our flag as a patriotic symbol of our nation. Like lots of people, I've proudly got one up at home. I don't know why the TV keeps on going dark. I've got a flag up at the minute as well. I don't normally fly the flag, normally because I don't have a garden or anywhere to do it, but I've just got it in my window at the minute. Based. But this last line is, using our flag to divide devalues it.
The flag's kind of specific, though.
It is, yeah. It's sort of what a flag is it divides people between the territory where they're from and the people outside of it, doesn't it?
It's who we are. You know, what values? It's not, the English flag doesn't represent a value. It represents the people of England, our nation, you know? Yeah. And the fact they're trying to co-opt it, like, I think it's disgusting.
Again, there's nothing wrong with, you know, having, you know, different nations, different people, exactly. Buying different flags. Yeah, that's sort of like the point of nationalism, is that everybody gets to be proud of who they are, where they've come from, their heritage. You know, I get to fly my Union Jack, you get to fly your Star Spangled Banner or your Jamaican flag or your Japanese flag or wherever, and you all get to be proud of who you are.
Exactly, and there's no division. It's not there to divide people. It's just English people being proud of who we are, being proud of where we come from, our history, our culture and our achievements. And it's not about hating anyone else or trying to divide, as Keir Starmer, or devalue it, you know, as Keir would suggest.
One only needs to look at the sort of nationalist right and how much we're all supporting each other in Europe to see that actually it's not about, you know, I only care about my country and nowhere else. Because actually, I think the politics as it is, there's a lot of camaraderie, particularly amongst people on the right, all across 100%. The world. And I think, if anything, our nationalism and flying the flag is bringing more people together, even outside of our borders, ironically enough.
I think I saw a fantastic action in Vienna the other day. So some of the nationalists over actually raised the colours in solidarity with us. I can't remember the district where, but they put some bunting across. It looked fantastic. It's excellent to see other Europeans celebrating their nationality and ethnicity.
Mm-hmm. And then this is something that I really had to doubt. I'm not going to play it because I don't like hearing a voice. But Yvette Cooper, the Home Secretary.
But you still show us her face.
Cover
your eyes.
Cover your eyes. Turn away, Marion. Turn away.
Pretend, Pretend you've been pepper sprayed again, Pat. It's probably preferable.
Opening the Lost Ark. But that's what they saw.
She says she has Union Jack bunting, St. George's flags, St. George's bunting, and a Union Jack flag and tablecloths at home.
Rubbish.
It's doubt. Just,
I mean,
so
I'm sorry.
Doubt.
No, you don't.
Not a single person can even draw in Britain has all of that. There might be one crazy person whose entire house is themed like that. But other than that, it's over-egging it. Now we just don't believe you because you've tried too hard to make out that you're this patriotic.
I think what's possible is that basically she has all of these like in her attic somewhere and like use them for like when there was like the Queen's Jubilee or whatever a few years ago and had the bunting for that and just like, oh, just and yeah, like the flags and tablecloths. Maybe they had a street party then, and then he just whacked it up in the attic after using it for then.
Exactly.
Like,
still counts. Yeah.
Like, why would you? Like, I'm extremely patriotic. I've got flags in my room. When I was on like a Times Radio the other day, had in the background, some of my friends were like calling me like Chudfield, like going on as like sensible independent journalist with a bunch of like St. George's Cross, Union Jack in the background, and it's like I'm patriotic. Like that's like even overboard for me, you know?
Yeah.
So it just makes me think that they're not being truthful about it. And speaking of not being truthful, here's Keir Starmer saying, I completely get it, where he insists he wants to empty the asylum hotels faster. Just but of course...
Then why the judiciary... Why did your Home Office appeal against the Epping decision then?
Yeah.
Also,
we've got to be sensible with it, you see.
They're going to try and do something worse in that they're going to try and circulate them in the population... houses, so depriving people of houses and also distributing them, so they've got like an equal distribution of potential sex criminals
everyone
all across
gets their
the
fair share, you know.
Yeah,
and they were just in one area, and now you might have one next door to you, like literally next door to
you. Exactly.
So yeah, it's very difficult to believe this sort of thing. And then here he is again. So Keir Starmer promises small boat migrants will be detained and sent back. Oh, this is, you know, obviously not true. This is only a few days ago as well.
They've sent back 24,000 in the past year, according to official figures from the end of July, which is not good enough.
Mm-hmm. There's still a massive backlog, isn't there, of people?
Huge.
Right?
Yeah, wasn't it within a few months they were trying to say, oh, we've already sent 10,000 back?
Bollocks.
Well, I mean, at the pace that you go in then, you've slowed down a hell of a lot since then.
And here we are. Keir Starmer admits he would not want to live next to an asylum hotel as his desperate phase two... Okay, that's what the Daily Mail's saying. But him just admitting, I don't want to live next to an asylum hotel. Well, hang on a minute. When he was a sort of judicial activist, like a lawyer for hire, didn't he do lots of free work for people like that, right?
And terrorist organisations.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I find it very hard to believe.
They came to him. He didn't choose these cases. They just landed on his desk.
And he's just a normal taxi lawyer. He's got the cab ranking. Just can't refuse them. I guess I'm going to support this terrorist. Guess I've got to support this murderer. Whoops. Oh, I just have to.
I can't say no enough, but it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me.
And while all of this is going on, while they're trying to convince people, they're trying to sort of outflank the patriots, just like, yes, I hate the asylum hotels. I don't want them. They need to go. I fly the flag. I've got like thousands of flags at home. His government's actually doing this. This is, of course, Yvette Cooper, the Home Secretary, announcing in Parliament plans to expedite refugees and Gazan student visas to study in the UK. Of course, being a student is a way of getting a foothold in the country, makes it easier to become a citizen, makes it easier for them to bring their family over. They've also announced new plans to let refugees work in Britain. So this is the opposite of what they should be doing, obviously. Not that I need to say this.
How many people could come through and from where on such a scheme? Because I was reading earlier about random people from Nigeria who managed to get through into England using the Ukrainian scheme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Like, what? Why? How? Why are they still here? Why were they allowed
second
to
second only
this?
To the Indians in their scamming ability.
And of course, let's not forget that the Gazans in the Middle East are some of the most frightful terrorists or terror supporters you've ever heard of across the world. But the second they step onto that magic soil, they're a poor, oppressed minority who deserve gibbs, just like the rest of them.
But the working thing, I think, is particularly egregious, of course, because this has been going on behind closed doors anyway. Like Deliveroo, Just Eat, you see migrants on bicycles all the time going through city centres. You hardly see them off of them, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think they literally had like a last month or so, and I think at the end of July or so, there was a crackdown at the Thistle City Hotel in the Barbican where a bunch of police officers turned up and grabbed like 8 or 10 migrants and basically like on like Deliveroo bikes, the asylum seekers. And then I think maybe like a couple were arrested, but like I don't think like anything happened. I think they were fined and like nothing happened. And they did this once in this one hotel and they're like, wow, look at that. Yeah, action. Fantastic propaganda. Yeah. Wow, we're doing action. We're doing action right now, folks. And then it just carries on. I literally was there like a couple days after, a few days after that happened. And I saw a delivery bike just right across from the hotel. And I'm like, okay, so you've stopped literally nothing. You're just doing a little bit of propaganda and that's it. And also just saying with the working, like I don't think people are primarily not annoyed with like the money that's being spent on the asylum hotels. Like, yes, it's bad. Obviously there's so much money that is being wasted, you know, from the taxpayers here. They're primarily concerned they're gonna round and go and like nonce your kids. Giving them a job isn't gonna stop them from doing this, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna give them more money to get extras while they do this.
Yeah. And it's also an incentive for them to be here in the first place. Mm-hmm. At least, you know, if they're locked up in a hotel and can't work, they're contained a little bit more. If they're out on a bicycle, who knows what they can get up to. And in fact, do you remember, Harry, when I took a picture of that migrant hotel in Swindon and it had a Just Eat bag and I tagged them in it and just like, isn't it illegal? And then Just Eat liked one of the replies calling me racist.
Bruh.
I didn't remember that Just Eat did that.
Got the screenshots.
I remember there were about 11 bicycles chained up on the lamppost out there, and so Callum did a quick look into how many stolen bicycles had been reported in the past few weeks before then, and it was 11 bicycles.
What a funny coincidence.
It really activates my almonds. That really
and it makes you think, doesn't
jogs
it?
The noggin. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, my frontal lobe is
expanding. Oh,
And of course
me when I think. Me when I realise.
Starmer's so concerned with these sorts of things that he's willing to enact something that Tony Blair's been trying to do for 20 years, which is a funny coincidence, isn't it? He's just mysteriously come across this idea and says that, you know, digital ID, that's the way we do it. That's the way we send them all back. Obviously not. This is
that thing I've been working towards my entire career is finally the solution to a problem that I kind of started.
But the thing is, because everyone expects them to be dishonest about their motivations, I don't think anyone believes that they're doing this to crack down on the small boats. Mm. Because why was Tony Blair pushing for this then? You know,
Tony Blair is an honest and honourable man, Josh.
Well, compared to Keir Starmer, he genuinely is.
Put some respect on his name.
I at least have some respect for Tony Blair because he's so evil that I sort of am just like, you know what? I
wrap back around to respect him. You're just like, I wish I could be that evil.
At least I know what he stands for, being Satan. You know, what does Keir Starmer stand for? You know?
So another thing is this, and this annoyed me a lot because it's just like two singers and some women from abroad say that it's racist to link immigration to sexual abuse. It's like, thank you, musicians and women who definitely have no invested interest.
The Council of the Longhouse have convened to tell you off. Stop linking immigration to sexual abuse. No.
No.
No, it's silly. Okay. And of course, this letter comes from Stand Up to Racism, which is about as organic as McDonald's. And let's scroll down and read some of this because it's quite egregious. And the part I found the most annoying is there is no evidence that people seeking refuge are more likely to commit acts of sexual violence.
Have you got the graph, Josh?
Oh, I'll get to it.
Oh, yeah.
I've always got the graph. Many are themselves survivors of violence, war and persecution. And there's also the fact that if people live in that environment, they're probably likely to bring that along, even if that is true in the first place.
Yeah, what we want to do is start bringing along traumatized war survivors or potentially war criminals and bring them into our country and there'll be nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The magic soil will just take root and they'll be cured. Where was I? Blaming them distracts from tackling the deep-rooted causes of abuse and from holding those truly responsible to account. The far right have seized on the lies, spread misinformation, and mobilised protests outside hotels housing refugees, including women and children. Do they? Are there women and children in Epping? I don't think there are.
No.
There's not. No. It's all men.
There's none in the Britannia. I think there was some in the Stanwell Hotel, but that was because it was being moved to all men. There's a lot of hotels across London which are being moved from women and children to just men. I'm trying to think if there's actually a place, one of the coverages that I've been, where it has been women and children. I think only like when I went out to cover some of the flagging that happened in Orpington with the guys from, went down with them from Canary Wharf, the Flag Force, at Flag Force 25 on X, people want to follow them. And I think the hotel in Orpington had women and kids in it. And I think that was literally the only one, and that wasn't even a protest. We're just like, I mean, like they just went out flagging.
And then you got to consider it's not going to be an even split, is it? You might have 70 men and like two couples, you know. Yeah. It just because it says it's housing women and children doesn't mean the people in there are actually women and children.
Good point. Yeah,
because you know the Home Office is so they're not transparent about this at all. They won't even comment about on individual cases whether something is or is not an asylum hotel. If you hear that, you know, they're being moved towards it, they just say, "No, I can't." You know, we don't comment on this specifically. So they're not being transparent at all. You know, transparency, again, this is another reason why they don't trust the government. Look, you had no transparency in the Scottish Hatchet Girl case. There's no transparency in where the hotels are or where they're putting them in their houses, multiple occupation. People don't know where they are, and actually, I do think said just on that point, that Lorraine from the Pink Ladies said that actually, you know, they want to start putting curfews in the hotels, especially now that school's back, so that like from 9 till 4 or whatever, they have to stay inside, so they basically can't like nonce on any of the girls who are around school. And like actually, it's going to be worse, surely, if they're going to be dispersed around the community, because at the very least. You can avoid the hotel in your community and the surrounding area, at the least. If they're just spread out, you know, what can you do? Yeah, they could be literally anywhere.
For most people who experience this coming into your neighbourhoods, and I'm sure this is what it was like for you in Epping, no announcement, no warning, they just one day, boom, there they are.
It was a bit of a shock, because obviously you said, they don't tell you they're coming, and I'd leave my house and I'd get my own, and just be like, oh, there's a load of men here. Like, where have you all come from?
There's a load of men. What are they doing?
It's not like they blend in. You know, they literally fresh off the boat. They wear sandals. They wear sandals and jogging bottoms. I'm like, mate, it's like you're in England now. Yeah. Can you get some shoes on, please?
Well, said actually, it's not because we didn't mention this earlier. I thought we should actually mention it. It's obviously, you know, that not. It's not only the men who are in the hotels who are immigrants. It's the security guards as well. And you found,
as we discovered,
So you found a guy on
Snapchat. Guarding themselves, right?
He was, I think he looks vaguely sort of Indian, Pakistani, Afghani, kind of Pakistani, that region of the world.
Judging from the flags on his profile, and you open up his profile, and it's him in all these sport cars with AK-47s, a big piles of money. And it's like, oh, I'm glad to know the Bell Hotel's in safe hands at least.
You
know?
And he like went to uni in London. I think it was like Uni of Greenwich or somewhere that way. Worked security other places. I saw like a Deutsche Bank logo on his things. Clearly like be guarding the walls and another, and I believe it was another asylum hotel as well, where he was at and somewhere in the rounds of the grounds where he had like the Snapchat or Instagram from that. So you're going to like, these are your security guards. These are who's holding them in as well, you know.
And it what does that tell us in the local community, you know? It's like, oh, a guy who was, let's be honest, probably up to no good in Pakistan, he's rocking around with guns and big wads of money. Oh, he's meant to be keeping the asylum seekers in check.
Keeping the women and girls of Epping safe.
Maybe they're hoping that if he's already got lots of money, he won't be as susceptible to bribes.
So true.
It makes sense.
Thank you, Yvette Cooper. Very cool.
The final paragraph I wanted to read was this one. The truth is that sexual violence is endemic across society and far too often ignored by those in power. The irony of them writing this letter, complaining about people ignoring it in power. Public services for women, children and victims and survivors have been cut to the bone and too many cases are left without justice. Or it could be that it's not that it's cuts to services. Maybe it's that those cases have gone up because something else has gone up. What is that? What has seen a skyrocket? Is it immigration? It could be. I think
not quite sure.
Be.
I can't put my finger on it.
Here's the numbers.
That's a graph.
So here are foreign nationals, and these are sexual assaults by nationality. That's the United Kingdom there at the very bottom. And these are all the nations above them, right? So yes, remember, actually it's the majority of sexual assault cases are white people, it's British people, but of course those people don't understand per capita because they've got a small brain. Here we are, Afghanistan right at the top. Is that Eritrea? It's so small on the screen.
Our bicycle engineers. It's our promised bicycle
engineers. It's Afghanistan and Eritrea who are number one and number two. And Namibia, I think this will be conviction as well, won't it? I think those are the numbers where it's Afghanistan and Eritrea are two.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is per 10,000 people.
I mean, the difference is that's massive there, isn't it, right?
I think Afghanistanis are about, I think it's 22 times more likely to be convicted for sexual assault than British nationals. And of course, this is only by nationality. So if somebody is second, third generation immigrant here as well, they'll be counted under the British national statistics because we don't record for ethnicity in the same way. But you know, basically the stats are pretty similar if you look at Denmark, which does record for ethnic background as well.
Judging by this, for Afghans and Eritreans, maybe, like, if you're in a particular neighborhood where there's a lot of them, what does that equal out to? About maybe slightly more than one in 200 is potentially somebody who's committed.
I think it's like 56 out of 1,000 for the Afghanistans.
It's 56 out of 10,000, so I'm just trying to actually 59.
I think out of the Scottish data, it was either Somalis or Eritreans. I can't remember because it's off the top of my head. But a quarter of them in Scotland were in prison at that time.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
Yeah, no, yeah, I definitely heard that as well. It's a very small population. But that's still 25% of them total. It's like the stats with Rotherham. I can't remember the numbers, but it's something insane. Like the amount of... It was something like 1 in 7 or like 1 in... It was either like 1 in 7 or 1 in 50. I think 1 in 7 maybe tangentially evolved, and like 1 in 50 like Muslim males in Rotherham were like actually convicted for the grooming gangs.
Yeah, I'm
absolutely massive.
I imagine the 1 in 7 is just on accounting for just the entire community hiding it.
Yeah.
But then again, if you want to take it as the entire community, well, then it's all of them.
Yeah.
So the point I want to make here really is that obviously, they're very overrepresented. And here's, I'm rather immodestly going to quote my own tweet here.
Oh, well, why not?
I know.
It's classic.
It was one that I did myself.
How is this logistically possible?
Oh, yeah. That was Tariq Nasheed replying to me. Didn't understand the logistics. But the point being is that certain populations that are a minority of the population can commit very large numbers of crime. And the type of crime depends on who they are, what their culture is, and... It's very obvious that this is going on, right? This is the government's data that I based this off of. It was, what was it? London.gov.uk and also, I think, Scotland Yard as well. Yeah. Oh, no, it was the Met Police. So these are about as official as you could possibly get, and you get these sorts of figures. So obviously, the people saying, oh, well, they're just misrepresenting these poor, innocent migrants. They're just here to work. Well, obviously not. We've got the crime data. We know that that's not true. And so to sort of summarize, obviously the flag thing, they're trying to contain it because it's a powerful message. I don't think they're, you know, they go home and it's just a wall of union flags and what have you. Obviously, they're trying to say that they're going to do something about immigration. They're obviously not going to. And in fact, they're making it worse. And of course, the people saying that they're just blaming migrants, that's not true either, because obviously there's a massive overrepresentation there, and it's undeniable. And the final thing I wanted to mention is I do have a YouTube channel. I have lots of videos that are not about politics, so if you want to escape from the misery and find out how cats can control your mind, for example,
how you can survive with half a brain.
Yeah, that's true. That's very
Josh
topical.
Has mastered that one.
I would ask
what was there.
I would ask how a cat's going to control your mind, but I'm going to watch your video instead.
Thank you very much.
Watch the channel, subscribe.
It's only just started somewhat, so if you support it, I very much appreciate it. But no, that's it. Thank you very much.
There we go. And we have run over already. I don't know how many video comments. That's fine. I'm going to say 10 to 15 minutes over. Isn't that right, Samson? Okay, cool. I'll go through the Rumble rants and super chats that we've received. Do we have any video comments for today? It appears none. So that's all right. I'll go through the super chats and then we can go through the website comments. Habsification. Marvel Studios are moving their film production from Georgia to here in the UK due to cost and better incentives. What in the bloody hell is going on? Is that real? They're moving it to the UK.
Oh. Sorry, I was reading something then.
Abo pin 2, another space hijacker tactic. Invite friends, hang England streamers and a disco ball on the tube, then play Rule Britannia or classical music. That's like when they play classical music outside of certain McDonald's to scare away your
I love that.
undesirable customers.
Yeah, speaking of sort of snobbery, I go in there when the riffraff are cleared out and I can have my Big Mac in peace.
Yeah, yeah.
With classical music.
You can
it actually attracts me to the slop.
It does, yeah. Yeah.
You can have your slop with some class, goddammit.
If you're going to do it, Harry.
Yeah. Habsification, more American celebrities are going to move to the UK. Oddly, again, it's in the Cotswolds. Mm. Beyonce and Jay-Z are trying to find a home in the Cotswolds. Ban them.
Yeah, I don't want them here.
Ban them
yeah,
from the country. No. I don't want American celebrities moving here. Threadnought, I don't like illegal immigrants. They're thieves. In fact, maybe you should read this one.
I don't like illegal immigrants. They're thieves. They're murderers. And they're rapists. And they get everywhere. Can you believe that back in 2002, I thought I hated sand? I also love Pat May. She's beautiful, and I hope nothing happens to her. My great wife. Wife four.
Threadnought, it's over here. We have the moral high ground. So we're getting quite a lot of Obi-Wan here.
Yeah.
Logan Pine says, here in the southwest US, your local Anglo-American man has 37 to 35 C weeks ahead of him. That's fine. That's
enjoy
fine.
The nice weather, yeah.
Cooking.
That's a random name. Josh looking swarthy with a beard, not paying for his Islander magazine. Being unemployed, you're never beating the gypsy.
Gypsy?
Ooh.
I do have a bit of Irish ancestry, actually, so maybe I should get a caravan.
Yeah, there you go. On to YouTube. Crackdog says, love the show, lads. Ever had Keith Woods on? No, we haven't. I wouldn't be opposed to having him on there, personally. It seems like an interesting guy. Gimli O'Gloin, we absolutely need more nationalism all over Europe. The whole concept of globalism and multiculturalism has been going on for way too long. Any time at all is too long for those two
have globalism, but national globalism.
National globalism. Globalism, but naked national. Having the ball there. I think that's a great concept.
There's another word for that called empire, Josh. Have you heard of it?
Good idea.
Mercy and Anglo. Snap. Good man. I'm proud of these two early 20 Zoomers you invited onto this episode. As 28-year-old Zoomer, I'm grateful the younger generation are more nationalist.
Bead of sweat. Yeah, I'm going to be 29 next month. So Mercy and Anglo, we're about the same age, actually.
Oh, yeah, you're only a little bit younger than me.
Yep. Callum is the real early 20 Zoomer.
I had a great birthday weekend. You know, I got to see Harry play.
Yeah.
And then I got thrown in the back of the van.
What a great birthday weekend.
It's because they have the birthday cake waiting for them.
The cake was a lie.
Oh, my God. You really are an old...
Exactly. See, I had to prove it. And that's how you know head. I'm not just lying about the age.
I don't even know what he's on about.
I do.
He doesn't even know what Portal is.
I played that on the Orange Box when I was like...
So did I.
When you were like, what, 5?
Yeah, probably.
He was just there. Finally, Based Ape, if Bicycle Jesus, referring to the article I looked at, refused this man's money given to him willingly, why didn't he refuse my stolen money given to him against my will? Why Bicycle Jesus? That's a great question.
No, but that's why. Clearly already had as much cash as he needed.
Well, yeah. Do you want to read through? I'll read through some of your comments on the website for your segment, Jack. Anonymi says, I live in a city and our council said that our priority is our own above housing refugees, despite having certain MPs. A case where local council workers want to prioritise the truly vulnerable, I fear the Home Office will take it to court soon. Mm. Yeah, maybe. Baron von Warhawk, get a job. That's a little hard to do when you are not only competing with hordes of migrants willing to work for pennies, but the bosses are being pressured by the government to not hire any white people.
Yeah, that's my excuse.
Yeah, I'm still... hopefully, Lotus Eater has not yet hired hordes of migrants, right? Right, Carl?
That's why Josh is coming back here. It's to stop Carl from giving the job to another farmer.
I'm just gatekeeping my Indian replacement.
Zesty King, just having the opinions we have is a risk to the state and therefore ourselves. This only increases when we act upon them. People in the middle of the action like Jack and Callum take some of the greatest risks for truth and principle. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Patriot.
Baron von Warhawk, remember, if you get arrested during these protests, plead not guilty and then demand a lawyer is present. After that, don't say anything and don't do anything. Just sit quietly and wait for the cavalry.
That's good.
I said on that, I have just joined the Free Speech Union. If you are at the protest, like, that might be worth any protection, because they will give you legal defence, you know, on those fantastic sort of things as well. So Free Speech Union, great guys as well. Maybe it may be worth joining if you're going up to these places, because they will defend your free speech.
That's great.
But probably not if you're, like, whacking an officer in the face.
I mean, that's just assault.
Yeah, exactly.
Geordie Swordsman, the left, everything printed in the Mail is a lie. Also, the left, the Mail said it was her fault. This is now gospel. They are quite pick and choosy with that stuff.
Yeah.
Daniel Butchers, yesterday I was fitting some doors for a lady whose grandson got caught up in the protests in Ireland and is in court today. Wow. These arrests are working against the state as it's making middle-class grandmothers start to notice. Yeah, and they tend to be, they've got a lot of time on their hands. They can get involved in councils. Omar Awad, nobody expects anything good from the police. People need safety, and if they can't get it from the state, they'll find other solutions, may even seek protection from the state. Yeah, it's called anarcho-tyranny.
Yeah.
Or two-tier policing, whichever one you think fits better. Kevin Fox, being a police officer, like nursing in the military, used to be a calling. Now it's just a job. Sadly, yes. And Nicholas Ware, that story about the friendly bike repairman touched me, just like he touched the women and children.
It's over.
Oof. Oof. Do you want to go through some of yours, Josh?
Of course. Kevin Fox says, why do I need digital ID to get a job? I have a passport, driver's license, and veteran's ID card, and can't get a job. How's the national ID going to improve that? Well, it's just centralising everything to make it easier to control things, right?
Well, if Palantir has all of your personal information, even more so than they already do, then the world will improve somehow. Thank you, Peter Thiel.
Yeah.
Some very specific people, yeah. Canis Familiaris says, Keir Starmer watched the
Chin Pokemon episode of South Park.
Okay.
Do you not remember that one?
I haven't seen it, no.
Oh, well, you should watch it. It's a funny one. It's a good one.
And learn that
if
your parents join in on something, you will think it's lame. That is actually true. I did sort of think that, is he doing this to try and make it uncool, using his very negative reputation for political
He's going to come out to his next speech with the St. George's Cross as a cape around.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's it. Balls, protests are over, shut it down. It's cringe and woke now. That's it. We've got to let them run everything.
It's over.
It's so over, but actually, we're going to be right back very soon.
That makes people think our podcast is going to be back. It's actually going to be ending, I think.
I'll do the two honourable mentions. Russian Garbage Human, with both my honourable mentions here. Josh was speaking at the Wit End, based speech too, can vouch for him. Well, did you get the calipers and the skull out? If you observe these two dots...
I was interviewed by Ed Dutton, and he went through a hilarious list of topics where I was just like, Ed, what? Like, please, you're going to get me in trouble.
You're going to get me arrested, Ed.
He brought up Sir Francis Galton, which obviously founded eugenics. And then we started talking about the transfer of elites and how power functioned in Nazi Germany, and then Ed brought up homosexuality, and it's like,
okay,
I'm just like, I'm never gonna work again,
seeing,
am I?
Yeah. I keep seeing this clip of Richard Spencer going around where he's just like, so I was just thinking the other day, you know, Hitler said, and it just cuts off at that. And I'm just thinking that was you. And finally, one of the funniest episodes in recent times. More of this, please. Great combination of guests, hosts. Well, despite how horrifying everything that we were talking about on today's podcast is, and the negative circumstances some of us have found ourselves in, I'm glad that we could bring a bit of a smile along with it. So, yeah, with that, we've run out of time. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, everybody, who sent in some money through Super Chats and Rumble Rants. We really appreciate it. Buy a copy of Islander. And thank you, Josh, Jack, for coming in. And thank you especially to you, Callum, for coming in, joining us. And honestly, we're all supporting you.
Thank you. And it's fantastic, like, the outpour of support from... I'd no idea when I was in the slam. Like, I'd no idea. It's so heartwarming. And thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Well, whatever people can do to support you, we're all on your side.
I appreciate it.
And thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow at the usual time. Take care.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend, because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda
Veterans salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free, Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.